From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As part of our ongoing coverage from Into Action, the pop-up art exhibit and conference that took place in Los Angeles from January 13th through 21st, we'll turn next to two panelists representing the LGBTQ community who were invited to reflect on how the energy of the Women's March can be channeled into political action.
My name is Maria Roman, and I am the chair for the board for the Trans Latina Coalition, a trans organization locally here in Los Angeles.
Great. I'm Jay Babalota. I'm the executive director of the Estrella Lesbian Foundation for Justice. We're based in New York, but we're a global foundation and fund LGBTI rights everywhere.
So the panel that the two of you are going to be on at Into Action is Together We Rise, and the idea is how to take organizing from the streets into something meaningful, into something that actually builds capacity, builds things towards change. Why don't you tell me how your organization is already doing that before we get into how non-activists can get engaged?
Well, like I said, I'm on the chair for the first local organization that is led by trans women of color.
Local meaning in Los Angeles?
Local meaning here in Los Angeles. And I think it's important that, you know, that as a community, we do see how we can sort of work together and see the commonalities that we have amongst ourselves. For trans people, the issues have sort of been the same for over 25 years that I've been doing activism, yet there are so many gaps when it comes to resources and programming that addresses the particular issues of trans people. So I think the Trans Latina Coalition is filling in those gaps and looking beyond the usual lens, which was HIV activism, which really led itself to open the doors for programming for trans people. But of course, trans people have more needs than HIV care and HIV resources. So we're taking a step in moving to workforce development, creating safe spaces for community. And we're not doing that by ourselves. We're also interacting and connecting with local resources. And we're tapping into funds that previously were not accessible to us when it comes locally and statewide through the Workforce Development Board. These are monies that we never had access to. So that's what we're trying to do, is fill in those gaps and really create meaningful programming for the community.
And Bob, tell me about the work that your organization has done. And you said it's a national organization, so do you have local chapters?
No, we're actually global. We have only one official office in New York, but we have funded in 99 countries, which is over half the world, and 48 states. And this is our 40th anniversary. So it's very grassroots, radical funder that, exactly to your point, has from its inception filled the gaps and said, if at the time, if there was going to be a women's movement that included lesbians and women of color, we were going to have to pay for it for ourselves. And that's what they did. And today we fund LGBTI radical activism at the grassroots level, locally, hyper-locally around the world.
So how do people who might feel isolated, and especially in today's political climate, seeing all of the various attacks on various communities, and they want to do something, what can they do beyond going to a march? You and I are talking, all the three of us are talking, on the day of the Women's March in Los Angeles, and supported thousands and thousands of women, and some men showed up. What can they do beyond marching, and how can they feel inspired? Because activism is not just a once a year march type thing.
I mean, I think marches really optically show that, you know, there is anger, that their community in all across the country is outraged because of the new White House. However, you really need people to be at the ground level doing the work, and activism, like you said, is not a one day thing. It takes a lot of work, and people, depending on what they're passionate about, I would say to get out and donate your time. See how you can be useful in local communities. For instance, at the Translatina Coalition, we just opened the first drop-in center that opens from 9 to 5 here in Los Angeles. We provide lunches from 12:30 p.m. to 2 p.m. You can come and make sandwiches. You can come and support our efforts. But there's tons of local organizations that could use your time.
Do you feel that sometimes people want a prescription that guarantees a specific change and don't realize that every small action creates a ripple effect?
Well, change takes a long time, as many of us who have been doing this work see, and it comes in small increments sometimes. And I think you just have to be in for the long haul and really be committed to what makes you passionate. And I think you have to be passionate about something in order for you to want to be involved. For me, it has been for myself and for trans women like myself. It's my passion. So I've donated my life. I've given my everything about me to this cause. You have to find what makes you passionate about giving back.
And same question for you, Bob. You know, the rideshare driver that drove us here today said he wished he could go to the Women's March, but he had to work. Right. And I think that's the case for so many people who, if they do find the time beyond their busy days and busy jobs, can maybe just do the one march thing, if that.
Yeah. No, I think that much to both of your points, it's beautiful to get to come outside and march and rally and get the energy that should carry you through the rest of the year. And it's all of the things that we do. Like, it is meaningful for that cab driver to actually have a meaningful conversation with you, right? And to be affirmed in his beliefs, right? So I think that that's one thing. And that our work and our labor, whether it's our day jobs or our activism, has to count towards building the world that we want to live in. Astrea is very purposeful about bringing stakeholders across the board. We raise all of the money that we give, and we treat a dollar donor the same as we treat $1 million donor. And it's really about getting connected and getting the information to actually just know what's going on and to know that the things that maybe folks are struggling with in LA, they're also struggling with across the country and across the world. And I think that that's also really meaningful, is to know how many of us share very similar stories and are quite connected and or can have empathy even if our stories aren't the same.
So I think what a lot of new activists may be not realizing is that there exists this infrastructure of organizations, some of which go back 40 years, that are available for people to hook into, but they may not know about them. And therein comes issues of media coverage, right? So the media may provide tremendous amount of coverage to the Women's March, but are they offering exposure to organizations and ways in which people can hook in?
You know, it's a good question, because I think from the perspective of trans lives and trans services, you know, we have been covered by the media in such a bad way. Many cases have been misgendered. There was a recent murder of a woman here in Los Angeles this month on January 10th, Victoria Gutierrez, and those are those small changes that the way they covered her crime was done with compassion, and those are incremental changes. I do think that we're in an age where all you have to do is Google things and you can sort of get information of what's happening locally if you really want to get involved.
We want to see these isolated incidents in the larger context. If something that happened to one person is put in the context of something that happens to people from that community as a whole, then people can start putting the dots together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that that's the point, is that we have to be in control of our own stories and our own narratives, and we have to purposely want to hear other people's stories and other people's narratives. And I think that's particularly, we know in any kind of society where they're trying to restrict freedoms, they limit the press, they limit, or they call it fake news, or they call it, right? And so we need to be vigilant around making the stories we want to hear, listening to the stories we want to know about, and being purposeful in the media that we engage.
The situation today is so dire, and I'm wondering, Bob, you said your organization's been around for 40 years. How do you view this past year within the context of that history? Do you feel that it's more dangerous now than it's ever been, or this is par for the course. For some communities, it's always been dangerous.
Right. I mean, the bottom line is that this country was built on racism and genocide and the exploitation of black and brown bodies and indigenous bodies.
White America doesn't see that or doesn't want to acknowledge that, right?
But perhaps the millions of women, many of whom were white, who marched, and men who marched, are listening in another kind of way. I mean, it's an opportunity. So that's why a women's march with a progressive agenda that is, in fact, intersectional has the possibility of opening up some ears and opening up some eyes. It's always going to be flawed, but it's like, are we willing to sort of step out on the streets together and know each other in another kind of way? So I think that people are so disgusted, and a lot of people are like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in history. It is not the worst thing that's ever happened in history. It's in fact an incredibly American phenomenon. And if we're willing to know that, then we have the possibility of changing it. It can't just be some of us know it. Everybody has to know.
You mentioned that there, despite its flaws, so some people have criticized the Women's March last year and this year, even though it was a beautiful outpouring. And of course, anytime you have a big event like this, it's not going to be perfect. What are the ways in which you think the Women's March should evolve into? Some have criticized the fact that at the Women's March in Los Angeles on Saturday, Palestinian women were sidelined because Scarlett Johansson was given the microphone and she represents, you know, Zionist Israel. Others have criticized the Women's March trying to copyright its name, and it's becoming too much of a corporate style brand. What would you like the Women's March to evolve into? I'll start with you first, Mary.
Well, I'll talk from my perspective. I think that they want to sort of take an inclusive approach, but they need to have all these individuals at the table in the planning. I think one of the ways that they can prevent a lot of these issues is having transgender women involved in the planning, taking all those intersections that women in general have, and really having a table where we can sort of come together and be part of the process of developing what this would be and what the mission will be moving forward.
But sometimes you have to find a way to know where to draw the line, right? Because I remember last year there was a controversy around the fact that some anti-abortion women said, we're feminists, we want to be part of the Women's March. You know, and some might argue, well, you can't be feminist and be anti-abortion.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the thing that is always true is that humans are phenomenally flawed, right? Like, that is just, that will never not be true. And I think that we have to lean into that as opposed to be afraid of it, right? I mean, that's not different of why white people don't want to know about racism. They know about racism. They don't want to admit that they're powerless in race, right, in terms of their culpability in that, right? Like, that's actually, like, if we're willing to acknowledge where we have power and where we have privilege and when and where we don't, and be vulnerable, then I don't need to be afraid to stand next to you if you have a different political viewpoint. And in fact, our viewpoints may not be so different, right? But until I'm willing to embrace the totality of your actual humanity, we have a problem.
Can you both give out websites for your organization so people can find out more about them and use these as an opportunity to hook into the groups that you work with?
Yes, our website is at translatinacoalition.org.
Astrea has a lot of A's in it. It's Astraea Foundation.org.
Excellent. Yeah. We'll post links to those from our website later today. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
My guests have been Maria Roman, the board chair of the Translatina Coalition, and J. Baba Lotta, executive director of the Astraea Lesbian Foundation for Justice. The two of them were speakers on a panel called Together We Rise at the Into Action pop-up exhibit in LA, and we've been discussing how to channel the energy of the women's marches into organizing and grow existing movements. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.